presidential nominations. Christie, already a favorite among fiscal conservatives, could use the speech to launch himself into a 2016 run for the White House. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio, Washington.
This is NBC News Radio. Penn State's accreditation is in jeopardy, according to the organization that accredits the university. It says, based on Penn State's own investigation into the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse scandal, the organization has put the university's status on hold. Americans are carrying more credit card debt than a year ago. Despite that, the late payment rate for cardholders is at an 18-year low. And Helen Gurley Brown has died at age 90. Here's NBC's Kate Snow.
Before there was Sex in the City, there was Sex and the Single Girl, Helen Gurley Brown's 1962 bestseller that encouraged women to enjoy being single.
I think that Helen really helped create today's modern woman. I don't think that women would be in the careers that they have if there hadn't been Helen Gurley Brown.
Kate Snow, NBC News, New York.
I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank, no nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
The age of the compact disc appears in its twilight, as young people now turn more to one spot than anywhere else for their music, YouTube. The Nielsen Company finds almost two-thirds of people aged 13 to 17 say they use YouTube to listen to their music. That is more than any other medium, as more teens say they are less inclined than old people, meaning 18 and up, to listen to CDs. Other online music sources are gaining far less traction. More people, in fact, still listen to cassette tapes than to Spotify, Yahoo Music, AOL, eMusic, or Rhapsody. Stock and Groupon is being deeply discounted, shares tumbling in after-hours trades, even after the online coupon company posted its first-ever quarterly profit, with revenue that increased 45% from a year ago. But its predictions for future growth deeply disappointed investors, and that sent the stock down. Stock futures higher. In fact, stocks higher around most of the world. S&P futures up 3. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Jay with SafeLight Auto Glass.
We know you depend on your vehicle. So when you have auto glass damage, you need it fixed fast. SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone. So when you schedule a replacement with SafeLight, we'll get you back on your way faster. Plus, our work is backed by the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered anywhere.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Business phone systems don't have to be expensive or hard to install and maintain.
CudaTel is an easy-to-use, next-generation VoIP phone system that enables seamless, high-definition voice and video communication.
It's time to fire the phone guy.
Because CudaTel can be deployed by your in-house or outsourced IT staff. Starting at just $1,399 with no per-user or per-feature fees, CudaTel by Barracuda Networks is powerful and affordable. Visit CudaTel.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of The Best Of First Shift with Tony Truppiano. I'm your host for the day, Jeff Radford, and on today's show, we're bringing you some of our favorite interviews Tony has done with the people making the news in and out of the state of Michigan. What you'll hear in this hour is the information we need to get out and share with the people, the facts, if you will, in a world of spin. Even though these interviews are taped and no one is actually in studio at the moment, you can still interact with the show on the First Shift with Tony Truppiano Facebook page and through Twitter at Tony Truppiano, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O, or even send up an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. Now, without further ado, let's start the show.
Hey everybody, I am Tony Truppiano. My first guest knows more than just a little bit about that, although we don't necessarily have him here to talk numbers and polls today. Let's go to our first guest. Joining us now is Bernie Porn. Bernie is the founding principal and president of Epic MRA. Many of you, of course, know that Epic MRA is a highly regarded and experienced survey research firm located in Lansing, Michigan, and they are considered the consummate polling company in the state. Bernie, of course, comes to us with amazing credentials, including his time serving in a communications capacity and working with former speakers of the House, as I mentioned earlier on in the show today. I asked him to join us this morning to speak a little bit about the Jace Bulger, Roy Schmidt situation. And Bernie Porn, I want to welcome you back to First Shift.
Glad to be with you, Tony.
Well, you know, this is an interesting time. I'm reading in the Detroit Free Press this morning more text messages between Roy Schmidt's son and his nephew and this young man that they had recruited to run as the quote-unquote fake Democrat. I don't know if this story's going away anytime soon, Bernie. This is really an interesting story. And I got to ask, you've been involved in Michigan politics a long time. Have you really ever seen anything quite like this?
Well, as you noted, and by the way, I appreciate such a great introduction, but as you noted, I worked for four speakers of the House over the course of 19 years, and there is no way that any of those four speakers would have concocted such a harebrained scheme as what Bulger and Smith attempted to do in this district. I mean, it boggles the mind. If the prosecutor for Kent County had determined that there was legal liability and or criminal acts, I think that what they did would have qualified for that video, America's Dumbest Criminals. it is astonishing. And then some of the things that Speaker Bulger talked about in terms of he was just being evasive, and some of his comments when you think about he wasn't all that involved and he was just a bystander, but he had his chief of staff deliver the petitions, you know.
Well, yeah, we are paying attention, and we can pretty much assume, and not only was his chief of staff delivering petitions, he was doing it on taxpayer time. And that's the part that really kind of confused a lot of people. You know, interesting, Bernie, I did a little research on this on Monday evening into Tuesday morning, and actually emailed some other secretaries of state around the country. And in a lot of states, what happened here in Michigan would have been illegal. It just doesn't happen to be illegal in the state of Michigan.
Which is astonishing to me. I would have assumed, given the evidence and also the attempt to exchange money, that would have qualified as clearly an illegal act.
Well, you would think, and when you know, of course, the first thing that we see, the first thing that I saw was it was either a Gong or a Mirror's headline, Bernie Porn, that said, Jace Bulger, Roy Schmidt commit fraud, no crime committed. That was the headline. No crime committed. I'm thinking, how can you commit fraud and that not be a crime? But, well, welcome to the state of Michigan.
Yeah, and what is amazing is that the Speaker of the House then said, well, you know, we really need to work on a law to deal with things like that.
Now
that's a choice comment.
Well, we know that the Democrats actually have produced legislation, some bills that would have covered this. And the Speaker didn't allow them on the House floor. This was about 4 or 5 months ago. You need to wonder at some point, did he realize, and you've got to, and really, you've got to wonder, did he realize, okay, well, I'm in the middle of this situation. I can't really let this in, this potential legislation be introduced, knowing full well it'll make me even look worse than it already would if I do get caught. Sure enough, he does get caught. Had he allowed that to go to committee, well, that would have really, I mean, that would have been the end of him.
Well, and not only that, but when you think of his involvement, the very explicit text messaging that he and Schmidt engaged in, I would have thought people doing texting after what happened with the mayor of Detroit, the former mayor of Detroit, would have been decades before anybody would have done that. But sure enough,
well, it does make you wonder. Well, let me ask you, as a political operative, as somebody that has been intimately involved in campaigns for a lot of years in Michigan politics, what is this? Let's start with Roy Schmidt. What do you think his future looks like?
Limited. You know, what would possibly cause him to want to switch parties in a district that is narrowly 51% leaning Democrat, as Democratic as it has been redrawn? He should have known that Democrats would abandon him, and that Republicans would be very hesitant to accept him. And obviously that didn't connect, and so that is the first thing that's strange. And then to try and concoct this scheme to have someone be a Democrat that wouldn't run against you, I mean, that's just clear fraud. And the number of Republicans, including an area Republican legislator who called the Speaker and said, you know, I'm not going to endorse Schmidt, he's supporting I think Bing Goey as a write-in candidate. A lot of Republicans have indicated that that they're offended by this, including the Kent County prosecutor. So it just doesn't make sense that Schmidt would try to do such a thing. And obviously, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, anyways. When you think about some of the things that he did.
Well, let me remind everybody. My guest is Bernie Porn. He's the founding principal and president of Epic MRA. You know, Bernie, it's interesting because Roy Schmidt's, or Jace Bolger actually, speaking for Roy Schmidt, said that the reason that Roy Schmidt wanted to switch parties is he was tired of political partisanship, yet he does something so overtly politically partisan.
You don't get much more partisan than
no, I mean, this makes no sense at any level at all. I literally, for the life of me, imagine why this man would do it. He just allowed the Democrats to do a fundraiser for him. They just went and knocked doors for him the day before he makes this decision. He has lunch with one of his colleagues, Democratic colleagues, never mentions that he's switching parties, and then the next day he won't answer his phone. This is really, really odd. Somebody said, well, do you think they had something on him? Well, I don't know if they had something on him, but this is just bizarre beyond anything I can comprehend.
Well, if somehow he is the Republican nominee, I would, and also you have an independent candidate who is conservative and in favor of term limits, I would give the odds of Schmidt being elected in the general election slim to none, and slim is heading out of town. the ads write themselves, just using the actions that he engaged in terms of participating in Democratic activities and Democratic fundraising, and at the same time he knew what he was going to be doing, and so did the Speaker of the House.
Well, before we get back to the Speaker of the House, Jace Bolger, let me ask you about the Secretary of State here. Does she have some political culpability here as well?
It is it's very, very strange that they seem to be. She seems to be stonewalling it. I mean, there's serious questions in terms of the potential exchange of money and use of campaign funds for that purpose.
Well, I mean, she's the one that was looking to stop voter fraud. I mean, if we're going to stop it, shouldn't it start at the legislative level first?
Well, yeah, and trying to put a candidate who won't run against you seriously in place in such a fraudulent scheme is just dumbfounding.
Well, it is dumb. No. Dumb's the right word.
I'm losing even more hair, scratching my head, trying to figure out what would possess them.
Yeah, this is just crazy. Bernie, we've got to take a quick break. If you can stay with us, I'd like to come back and talk about Speaker Bulger, because he is, as many of the audience know, he is up for re-election as well, and curious if this changes his fortunes or makes things a little more difficult for him. But we've got to get to the break, so stay right where they're at, and we'll come back. Again, my guest is Bernie Porn. Bernie is the founding president and principal of Epic MRA. You all know, of course, Epic MRA. We'll talk and continue our conversation with Bernie after we take this quick break. If you have a question or comment, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be back right after we do this.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. My guest, Bernie Porn, founding principal and president of Epic MRA. You're going to find them online at epicmra.com, epicmra.com. Bernie, as we were going to break, I said that we'll come back and visit the Speaker Bolger's race. Certainly, what may have seemed like a cakewalk just a few short months ago, well, there may be a speed bump in this. I don't know that he's going to be defeated, but I think that this might slow him down a little bit.
It could be a close race, depending on how the Democratic candidate and the Democratic Party fashion a message to really take advantage of the Speaker's misstep in this issue. Not far from there, years and years ago, in a more Republican district, I remember a candidate named Paul Porter who was a farmer, and there was a controversial issue that the Republican previous incumbent had dealt with, and we were able to win that seat in a campaign that took advantage of what the Republican did, and so I think it is possible, it is unlikely, but it is possible that a 44% Democratic district could be competitive given the really dumb thing that the Speaker did in trying to engage in fraudulent activity involving an election.
Well, there's no question. I mean, of course, the people are clamoring. Some are screaming for the Speaker to resign. I'm not so sure. I'm not one of those people, Bernie Porn. But at the same time, I understand politically why the Speaker cannot resign. If he does, it's over. Doesn't matter what he does. If he resigns, he's admitting guilt. Even if he sets this up in the most beautifully eloquent, prosaic way, it doesn't come off that way. It comes off as, I'm guilty, and therefore that's why I'm stepping aside. I don't see that he can step down.
No. I think that if he were in trouble with his caucus, it would have happened by now. So he probably is not going to pay a price there, but he could pay a greater price in terms of a close election in his own district, depending on how much money and effort is put into the race by Democrats and by his opponent, Bill Farmer, who's a 62-year-old candidate from Scotts.
Well, let me ask you about the reality, or if the reality changes, of the Democrats taking back the House now that we've got this, we'll call it a scandal. I would suggest it does help the Democrats. Does it help them enough, Bernie Porn?
It probably does not help them enough because an awful lot depends on what the top of the ticket looks like. When there is a wave election such as in 2008 where you had such a heavy Democratic base vote, it swept a lot of candidates into office, and Democrats expanded their majority. But then the reverse happened in 2010, and there was such a heavy Republican base, and Democrats did not turn out that they took control, and Snyder won big in the general election. If it is I expect this to be a much more normal election, in which case the activities of the respective candidates in the marginal districts and in the political parties has a greater impact. But still, I think it's unlikely that they're going to be able to pick up enough houses, enough seats to take control. I think they will pick up seats, and it'll be closer, but I think it'll be a close but no cigars situation.
All right, well, it'll be interesting to see what does happen, because certainly the Speaker, if the House does go Democrat, then the Speaker is no longer going to be the Speaker anyway. He will be the minority leader if he's allowed to keep that if he's allowed to keep that title at all. And, you know, Bernie, I don't know that the Republicans can allow this just to go completely unnoticed forever. Now, we are, of course, up against the primary. We're now less than 2 weeks away from the primary. At some level, they couldn't be luckier than to be on legislative break right now. If they were in Lansing every day, this would be all anybody would be talking about.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that he has totally escaped the wrath of his own caucus. If they think about the number of other Republicans who have come out and asked that he step down, there have been several key Republicans doing that. And so I'm not sure that he's totally out of the woods. But probably if he was going to be in trouble, we would have heard enough. Much more about him stepping down from a greater number of his caucus members.
Well, I would agree with you. Let me ask you before we let you go. Obviously, it's still very early on. People love to talk about poll numbers with regard to President Obama and Governor Mitt Romney. Again, I still think it's a little early, but I'm watching it like everybody else, and some of it I'm getting a kick out of it. Other stuff worries me a little bit. What are your numbers telling you at this point?
Well, it was real interesting because at the beginning of the year, voters started thinking much more optimistically about the economy in Michigan. And one key question that we asked is, has the economy bottomed out and improving? And in January, we had 58% saying that the economy was improving. And among those people who say it's improving, President Obama is leading with 53-54% of the vote. And so he had an 8-point lead in January. However, once Republicans came to the conclusion that Mitt Romney was going to be the nominee following the very divisive Republican primary, he started getting more support from Republicans. But then with the Super PAC attack ads that have really gone, I think, unchallenged by the Obama campaign, the vote among independent voters has dramatically turned against the president and for Mitt Romney. And that is, I think, a very troubling finding. And I think that it's important that the Obama campaign do a very necessary thing in terms of deciding to make Michigan much more of a battleground state in terms of their spending.
No, they better start paying attention. You know, it was interesting. I just read, I believe it was the day before yesterday, that the Obama campaign spent more in June than they took in. That is also a dangerous statistic, Bernie Porn, because he's not raising the kind of money Mitt Romney is, not even close.
Well, the biggest problem is the super PACs. The Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court just has given an unbelievable amount of license to just spend enormous amounts of money. They had spent $6.5 million in negative ads against Obama, which caused him to lose support among the independent voters and go from an 8-point lead to a 1-point lead for Romney in our most recent survey. And so that negative advertising has continued even more, and it has gone largely unanswered, except for a limited amount of advertising by the Obama campaign. If they don't engage fairly soon, I worry that the Obama campaign could lose in Michigan.
Well, we're going to keep an eye on that one, and of course, we're going to invite you back. Our mutual friend Dave Barber wanted me to say hello to you, Bernie, so I'll do that now before I let you go.
Well, and say hi to him, too.
We'll do. Thank you so much, Bernie. We'll talk again very soon.
Anytime.
You bet. Bernie Porn again with Epic MRA.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
If you thought that right-wing politicos couldn't get any goofier, take a peek at Texas on Cruise Control. Ted Cruz is America's latest Tea Party darling. He just pulled off a contortion in Texas that few would have thought humanly possible. He got to the right of Governor Rick Perry, himself a former Tea Party darling who's such a far-out know-nothing that he's best known for putting the goober in gubernatorial. However, in the recent Republican primary, Cruz squinched himself Houdini-like into even further out political positions than Perry has taken, thus defeating the guy whom Perry wanted to be the party's nominee for a seat in the U.S. Senate. How far out is he, you ask? One of the white-hot talking points Cruz used to fire up the narrow extremists who now control the Texas GOP is that he will, by God, defend America's golf courses. You might not have realized that golf course defense is a burning national issue crying out for U.S. Senate attention, but such deep vigilance is apparently what makes Cruz a Tea Party fave. He says that he has ferreted out a diabolical United Nations plot to, quote, abolish unsustainable environments, including golf courses. Attention, patriots, grab your putters and rush to your local links, for the U.N. is coming. To burnish his crazy bona fides, Cruz adds that, quote, the originator of this grand scheme is George Soros. While Cruz promises to save American golfers from this Tea Party boogeyman, he says he also intends to save all of us from Social Security by turning our retirement money over to the altruistic geniuses of Wall Street. Oh, let's get rid of unemployment benefits too, because, explains Professor Cruz, helping the jobless increases unemployment. This is Jim Hightower saying, Cruz is what's happening to the Republican Party nationally, veering from conservative to crazy.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.com.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
From the moment that it crossed both my and Jeff's desks, we both kind of looked at each other and went, well, this is a clever idea. What are we talking about? We're talking about a potential reality game show, which would basically be occupiers versus the Tea Party. Yep, living under one roof with all kinds of interesting rules that we're going to let our next guest explain to you. But there is a twist to this. If you've ever wanted to be an executive producer, I don't care at what level. If you've ever wanted to be an executive producer of a reality TV show, here is that chance. So let us go right to our guest. Joining us now is a very talented musician and author, creative and executive producer of that brand new concept. Gordon Gebert joins us now. And Gordon, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us on First Shift this morning to talk about the Battle of Politicos.
Awesome, Tony. Thank you very much. It's a real honor to have me on your show.
Well, I got to tell you now. I'm proudly a left leaning guy, and we're not gonna out you. You can be whoever you want to be. Of course, everybody can be whoever they want to be politically. But Gordon, what an interesting concept. So before we talk about some of the more intricate details of this, dude, you got to tell me about the day that you were sitting there and said, "I got the perfect show." How the hell did this happen?
Actually, it was like lightning in a bottle. And when the idea popped into my head, it was like bingo. And I actually went right to the internet to see if, you know, usually when you get a brilliant idea, you say, "All right, somebody already has this idea." And I went on the internet and researched, and I said, "No, nobody's really doing this. This is insanity," you know. When I got the idea, it was actually from a phone call from a friend of mine. His girlfriend was in the TV business, and she produces shows. And he flew an idea by me from his girlfriend, and what she was doing, they wanted to do a reality show on a tea partier. And I was like, and like just one person, a woman or a guy, and follow around with a camera and just follow one person, around. And I said, "Nah, that sounds kind of boring. I don't know." And it could be manipulated too much. And not that I'm political or anything like that. I said, one angle on one person, it doesn't show the whole picture. And I said right then and there, I said, "Nah, you need it like a game show. You got to have like a bunch of occupiers." I said six. The number was six. I said, "You need a bunch of occupiers and a bunch of tea partiers, and put them all in the same room together." I guess I watch too much television. And I make it like Celebrity Apprentice meets Big Brother meets Survivor. And I had all those elements. And my friend was like, "You're a genius. I love the idea. This is great." And he went and, I said, "Feel free to, put it by your girlfriend. See if, she wants to make that show instead of just following a tea party or around." And she said it was a brilliant idea, but their production company didn't have the facilities to do that. But she said, "Oh, follow that idea. It's great." And that was in November 2011 that I came up with it. And from then to now, it's been an incredible journey.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that journey now. When we should, Gordon, let our audience know when we talk about your friends, you have maybe a little bit different group of friends than most of us do. Tell my audience how you've made a living for yourself.
Oh, well, I'm a professional musician, and I've toured the world, and I've actually worked with the guys from Kiss. I've worked with a band called Angel. I've worked with Marty Balin from Jefferson Starship. I can't even rattle off the Motley Crue I've worked with, all the bands that I've had a blessed life. I've traveled the world and toured, and it's been a lot of fun. So I'm not even in the TV business, so to speak. I'm in the entertainment business, but I'm a musician.
All right, so as we take a look at this concept, occupiers versus tea party, all right, it becomes immediately very interesting. I think that everybody that I've kind of bounced it off of, everybody at least smiles. At the very least, Gordon, they smile.
Yes.
And of course, the other reactions run the gamut. So let's tell people what we're looking to do here. Because I've said now for 2 days, if you ever wanted to be an executive producer, help fund a TV show, here's your chance to do that. This is kind of an interesting idea, and I was actually surprised that you could shoot a pilot so inexpensively. I won't question the validity of that. I'll just go with it. But if I do want to participate financially in this TV show, how would I go about doing that?
We're doing it through a fantastic website called Kickstarter. I don't know if anybody's familiar out there with that website, but it's great. What it does is they do a thing called crowdfunding. And crowdfunding is when somebody gets a project. It could be a television show like I'm trying to put on, or a book, or an album, music album. What you do is put your project on Kickstarter, and then people just go in there and fund it, and they pledge money, and you set a goal. So we have a goal of only a $10,000 budget, and yes, it is very little money we're running on. And we have a $10,000 goal, and I implore your listeners, if they love the idea of Occupy versus Tea Party, they can become a part of it and just go to Kickstarter and in the search engine, you know, type in Occupy or Tea Party, and it will pop up a really cool logo. And they could go there and pledge, back this project, a little button there. You click on that, back this project. This project will happen through people, you know, like your listeners. It would be fantastic if they could support the project.
Now, there's a deadline, so I want to make sure I mention that. I understand July 19th is the deadline for you to raise that $10,000. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have about 8 days to go. It's actually July 20th but it ends in the afternoon and Eastern time, so I don't even count that as a day. So I really have 8 days to go, and we're at $4,100 right now, and we just need $6,000 more to make Occupy versus Tea Party a reality and get it over that $10,000 mark. I've gotten so much I've done pitch meetings with production companies. Unbelievable. They all, like you said, the reaction is like, whoa, what a brilliant idea. And I've done it with networks, and they love it, and then they think about it after a week or two, and then they back off. And I have I have my theories about it because it's such a hot topic political thing. I don't get it. So I'm at this point where this show has to be made. I'm like the guy in Close Encounters.
Right.
I had to go to that mountain there, Devil's Mountain. This has to be made. Production companies and networks haven't come through for me. I mean, they've led me on for weeks, and a lot of time has passed. And I said, to hell with it. I'm going to do it myself. This has to be made.
Well, you know, now I'm going to guess that, and this is just a guess, Gordon, but I'm going to guess that what happens is there's a liability issue. They're thinking this is going to get physical at some point, that that somebody is going to end up in a colossal physical argument, and they're right. This is almost a recipe for that. Now, listen, doesn't mean that there aren't ways that you guys can prevent that from happening. But if it's going to happen, hell, it's going to happen.
That happens on Jersey Shore.
Okay, fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? I understand that, and of course, David. But that's the point of the show. Also, we know there's the X factor. I call it the unknown. We never know. I've already begun casting. I've gone out and went to the Occupy camps in Central Park in New York and New Haven, and I went to Tea Party New Haven, and I've begun searching for my people that could be on the show. That's another. I have so much. You could do a whole show about this. I'm out there still searching, so I invite you to be on Occupy versus Tea Party. I would love to have you on the show.
Me?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be the one kicking some ass.
Well, we want you on there. So there's an invitation for Tony Truppiano to be on Occupy versus Tea Party.
All right, my guest again, Gordon Gebert. He is. We're going to give that website out again. We're up against the break, Gordon. I'm going to ask you to stay with us a little bit longer so we can talk a little bit more about this. In fact, throw it out again. The website again is what?
It's Kickstarter.com, And when you go there, just go, you know, pop Occupy or Tea Party in the search engine, and you'll see Occupy versus Tea Party. And there's an actual one-minute video on there that people could click on to get the concept of the show. And then there's a little button right beside the video. It says, back this project. A dollar helps.
All right. Hold that thought. We got to get to the break. We'll come back. Gordon Gebert, my guest. Occupy versus Tea Party. Would you watch it? How about fund it? Well, now is your chance. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard. No one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Is America truly the land of the free? When working families have to struggle to survive, are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Hey, welcome back very much indeed. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, Gordon Gebert is my guest. He is the creator a really interesting idea. Occupy versus Tea Party, living in the house. We're going to get into a little more specifics on that. But let me tell you the crowdsourcing part of this. If you go to Kickstarter.com and just search for Occupy or Tea Party, you'll find it. Here's the thing I like about it. If they don't raise the money, all the money pledged immediately goes back to the people that pledged it. So if you pledge $1 or $1,000, it doesn't matter how much. If they don't get to that $10,000 mark by the 20th, basically the 19th of this month, then if you've pledged money, you get that money back. If they do raise enough money, of course, the point of that was to do that, then they can make this project happen. I find it interesting, and in fact, Gordon, you know, you write that Chuck Woolery has reached out and says he would like to host this.
Yes, it's amazing.
I've got to out that guy, though. I found out that he's a hardcore right-wing Republican, and I want to kick his ass, too.
Yes, absolutely. I really want a nonpartisan host for the show, but I thought it was a great, just to have a guy like Chuck Woolery that's in the industry to come out and be interested in the show. So I struck a nerve with him.
And, you know, and interestingly, Gordon, you've had a lot of people, some that you would be able to mention, some that you wouldn't, that are quite famous that have said to you, hey, dude, if you get this off the ground, you know, you need to get back with me. I'd like to do this.
Well, I got a homeboy right in Detroit that's a native son of Detroit, is Ted Nugent, and I can mention his name. That maniac wants to be on Occupy versus Tea Party. Obviously, he wants to be on a network version of the show, you know, with a big budget. But again, once again, I'm honored that you know I struck a nerve with these people, and they want to be on it, and they love the concept of the show. I have Keith Emerson, a good friend of mine, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and he wants to do the soundtrack. I'm a musician myself, but wearing the hat of two producer and trying to create the show, I'd love to do the soundtrack to the show, but I'm going to bring in all my talented friends to help and work with me with this.
So give us an idea of if this show were to be made, what we would expect to see on a weekly basis.
Well, this is obviously. I'm shooting pilot. I had the dream show, the one where a production company comes in, a big with big money and could put this on A&E or whatever. And what I wanted to do a Big Brother scenario and have a bunch of Occupy, a bunch of Tea Partiers in the same house, so to speak, and eliminate each other as they go down through the weeks. I'll give you the short version with the little budget that I have is just to shoot the pilot and I have the idea out there and put it on the internet on YouTube, and that's the purpose of the $10,000 budget that I'm working with.
Well, yeah, I mean there are just certain realities, Gordon. We can't expect that for $10,000 you're going to be able to do five episodes and some mini version of an entire season, because that's just not realistic.
That's not going to happen, no. But as I said, from my journey from November to now, I've been in production companies where they're saying, yes, we could have a $150,000 budget for this. And that's when I was like, wow, this is great. This is like my dream, you know. And they were coming in with the whole concept of the show. I'll go through the details of the concept. Like I said, bring in occupiers and tea partiers, put them in the same house, give them politically based challenges. Like sort of like Celebrity Apprentice, but with political-based challenges. And then the winners of the challenges win immunity of not getting voted off the show. And then I call it the Great Debate, and that's what the whole show focuses on, is the debate between Occupy and Tea Party, and have them sit around and pick a hot political subject and have them debate and, have game show rules involved. And then after the Great Debate, they vote each other off. I even have another segment called Share the Wealth, Steal the Wealth, and where they have an opportunity to win money for their group. And the details are very, very clever. I won't go into them. It has to be seen to appreciate it. And then they vote each other off. And over a six-week, you know, a six-episode series, you'd have six and six, five and five, and we'll actually get to the Chuck Woolery 2-2. And then one Occupy and one Tea Party standing, the best debater, because they voted each other off the show. And the audience chooses who was the most impressive and wins the show.
Well, I just think it's such a clever idea, and I really hope that that it actually comes to fruition. I think this could be a lot of fun. You know, leading up to, no matter what happens in November, we're going to have either Barack Obama win or Mitt Romney win. It's going to be one or the other. That doesn't mean these arguments go away, Gordon. It doesn't mean that the Tea Party is going to go away. It doesn't mean that the liberals are going to go away or the occupiers, because they're not going to go away. Everybody's still going to be there fighting for their point of view. So, you know, from a political perspective, you don't lose.
Yeah, exactly. When I've been pitching this in meetings, they said, "Oh, there's a time limit to it. There's an expiration date." And I said, "No, not really." And I said, "Well, I said give it a shot. Before the election is the prime time to have this show come out, because from here, I wanted the show out by September, October, November. The number one topic after this summer is going to be the election, and I see this show as a microcosm of the discussion of the kitchen table of America. And I think as television junkies that America is, I think it would be the number one show that people will be discussing and watching.
Well, I'll be honest with you, and we're just about out of time, Gordon. I think two things will come out of this, and I'm being serious. I think two things will certainly come out of this, that it will, we'll find out that we actually have much more in common than we ever realized, the two sides.
Bingo.
I think that will happen.
Yes.
And number two, it will be what people talk about on Monday morning if it's on Sunday night. I mean,
yep,
it will be what people talk about. Gordon, I really do want to wish you the best with this project. I love the idea. I'm glad we had a chance to visit this morning. You know, you can count on me for a small donation, for sure. And I really hope that you guys work this out. Again, there is a deadline on this, folks, so I need you to go to Kickstarter.com and either search for Occupy or Tea Party. It'll take you. Again, there's a description there. There's a little video there. So, you know, Gordon gets to his little one-minute pitch. And if they don't, what in the business called break escrow, if they don't get enough money into the coffers by the 20th of July, you will get your money back if you did indeed throw some money at this project to become an executive producer. Gordon Gebert, thank you so much for being with us. Let us know what happens, would you please?
Tony, absolutely. I profusely thank you. Tremendous help. I really thank you.
Love the idea. All right, we've got to take a quick break.
That will wrap it up for now on the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember, we're always interacting on Facebook on the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page. Add a like, tell a friend, grow the community today. Also on Twitter at Tony Trupiano, TonyTrupiano. And, of course, email if you still use it. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone still uses email. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Thanks to everyone who appreciates and supports the show. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Jeff Radford, and I hope you enjoyed this hour of the show. Now, stay tuned for the latest news brought to you by NBC News.
Brought to you by McDonald's.
Checking your traffic, we have flooding that has traffic getting by in the left lane only on 75 southbound at 94. And you got stop-and-go traffic from Holbrook. Also, we got an accident that has your left two lanes blocked on 94 westbound at West Grand Boulevard. Traffic getting by in the right lane only. Accident that has both shoulders blocked over on southbound 275 at the M14-96 split. Another accident has your left two lanes blocked on 75 northbound after 94. And we got an overturned vehicle at the end of the ramp blocking two lanes on 96 eastbound at the Davison. Of course, use some caution. Lots of flooding going on, especially on 75 and 94. So, of course, use caution in those areas. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
The weather is hot, but McDonald's is still here to quench your thirst with a Dr. Pepper or any of the dollar any size soft drinks or sweet tea. Ah, McDonald's. I'm loving it.
You would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
My father would drive me all the way to the mall. He went 17. We were right in front of my friends. And oh my God,
I wanted to go to Europe. And he seriously made me get a job to pay for it. And that one time,
he insisted on taking us to the movies, even though he knew Stephen totally worked there and I was totally in love with him. And
the time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
When I wanted to major in ceramics, because I'm like way good at it, my dad told me I'd have to pay my own tuition. Like, duh. How am I supposed to earn that kind of dough making pottery?
Embarrass them. Horrify them. Freak them out. Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Richard Louie. The Republican presidential ticket is facing charges from President Barack Obama that Mitt Romney supports the controversial plans to overhaul Medicare and cut trillions from social programs.
He plans to turn Medicare into a voucher program.
And Mitt Romney on the stump in Florida.
The president's idea, for instance, for Medicare was to cut it by $700 billion. That's not the right answer. We want to make sure that we preserve and protect Medicare.
Those cuts never occurred. Now, the prize job of delivering the keynote address at the Republican National Convention going to New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. The convention will be held 2 weeks from now in Tampa, Florida. There are reports that Apple will introduce its new iPhone next month. The introduction will come at a press conference on September the 12th. A new iPad Mini and iPod Nano are also expected to be introduced at the event. This is NBC News Radio. For the first time, every state in the nation has an obesity rate of over 20%, and it gets worse.
There are now 12 states whose obesity rate for adults exceeds 30%, led by Mississippi at 34.9%. Louisiana and West Virginia followed close behind. At the other end of the scale is Colorado at 20.7%. The numbers are based on a report released yesterday by the Trust for America's Health and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. I'm Paul Harlan, NBC News Radio.
This year's flu vaccine will offer protection from two new strains of the virus. The FDA says the new strains have been making their way around the world but have not reached the U.S. yet. Two large wildfires in Northern California are feasting on dry brush as some 500 homes in a nearby resort were forced to evacuate. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says 8 children were killed in the first week of August after being left in hot cars. It is the highest one-week total ever recorded. I'm Richard Louie, NBC News Radio.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor.
So you drive in, you bring your vehicle, you say hi to Fiona. Why would I bring my vehicle here for service?
Well, Mike, when you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long. We can take care of all the needs that you have. We check your belts, hoses, brakes, tires, battery, all your fluid. We stock many parts, so anything your vehicle may need, we generally have in stock to take care of that day.
Get a high-performance Motorcraft Tested Tough Plus or Tested Tough Max battery. Now with a $25 mail-in rebate at your Ford dealer. Get power up front and money back in your pocket. Stop by today for expert service and a great deal on a new battery.
So when you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership for service, we can very likely see you.
Yes.
Fiona, waiting here in the capacity of a service advisor.
First phase of the service drive.
See participating Ford dealer for rebate details or visit FordOwner.com through 83112.
Another aspect of life in the late 20th century is fading from life in the 21st. The Nielsen Company says today's music listening teenagers are eschewing compact discs in favor of other sources, especially YouTube. Teens now listen to music on YouTube more than on any other medium. The most listened to music medium overall is still radio. 9% of us are still popping in cassette tapes. Home Depot this hour reports a 12% increase in profit for the spring quarter and has hiked its forecast for the full year. This despite sales that have been weaker than expected at Home Depot. A promise from Japan to stimulate the economy and better than feared economic activity in Germany and France have helped stock markets in Asia and Europe increase about a half to a full percent. And our stock futures are up, at least at this point. S&P futures gaining 3 points, NASDAQ futures up 5, Dow futures gaining 27. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Jay with Safe Light Auto Glass.
We know you depend on your vehicle. So when you have auto glass damage, you need it fixed fast. Safe Light has more glass in stock than anyone. So when you schedule a replacement with Safe Light, we'll get you back on your way faster. Plus, our work is backed by the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered anywhere.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safe Light or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No, not.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of The Best Of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. I'm your host for the day, Jeff Radford, and on today's show, we're bringing you some of our favorite interviews Tony has done with the people making the news in and out of the state of Michigan. What you'll hear in this hour is the information we need to get out and share with the people, the facts, if you will, in a world of spin. Even though these interviews are taped and no one is actually in studio at the moment, you can still interact with the show on the First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page and through Twitter at Tony Trupiano, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O, or even send up an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. Now, without further ado, let's start the show.
It's really a pleasure. About a year ago or so, I was asked to go to Port Huron to talk to the St. Clair County Democratic Club. And man, what a blessing that was. One of the people that I sat and chatted with for a period of time was a guy by the name of Stuart Sternberg. Now, Stuart's one of those kind of people where once you talk to him for about 5 minutes, you quickly understand that he's intelligent. He's a former school teacher, by the way, retired. Very intelligent, very passionate, very much the activist. He kind of, you know, fits that mold of what you want to see in somebody that cares about the community. He's entrenched in the community. He's well known. He's respected. In fact, he would be one of those guys that if he were to run for office, it would be hard for the other side to really find much wrong. Without lying, anyway. Well, guess what? He decided he is going to run for the state house, in fact. And so he reached out to me last week, and Jeff did his job. And here we are now talking to Stuart this morning. So let us turn our attention now to Stuart Sternberg, who is running for the state house. And, Stuart, I appreciate you spending a little time with us this morning.
I love being back. You know, Tony, I know I'm old and fat, but I'm not yet retired. I'm still involved. So any administrator hearing that I'm retired, don't cut me off yet.
Well, now, are you a retired teacher?
No, I'm an active teacher.
Yeah, well, then a shame on me.
You know, that's all right. And by the way, I just wanted to let you know that I know you've been working to lose weight and get in shape. I got to tell you, you should consider running for office because nothing makes you feel, you know, get in better shape than walking door to door to door.
Yeah, I did that in 2006, and I did it. I've been there. I got the T-shirt, and that's where we're going to leave it, Stuart. But we're here to talk about your run for
right.
The state house, and so let's you know, it's again, there's so much going on. You're an activist. You're a smart person. You're paying attention legislatively what's happened over the last year and a half. And Stuart, if you'll recall the first time, you know, when you and I first met, when I was out there to speak to the group, when we met that day, you know, you were talking then, and this was at the very beginning of the assault on public education. And what has happened since then has really been quite dramatic and profoundly disappointing. At what point do you say to yourself, I can't just sit back, I need to get engaged? Because you're not alone. There are a lot of other teachers that are running for the state house this year.
Well, let me talk about that. First of all, last week when Wisconsin recall election failed, I know a lot of people were dispirited, and we can't be dispirited regarding Wisconsin and Indiana. You know, I know I'm frustrated by statements by Governor Mitch McDaniels. I don't expect anything different from him. You know, he spreads distortions and lies, but instead, you know, instead of being disheartened, let this serve as a wake-up call. You know, we're not going to go down the path of Wisconsin and Indiana. We're Michigan. We are, you know, organized labor is part of who we are. It's our heritage. We hold the labor battles in Flint and the fight on the overpass, we hold those with reverence. We know that the unions have made life better for all workers, and we've seen the graphs which show that the decline in membership of the union parallels the decline in the middle class. You know, how much more obvious can it be? And just as unions made life better for all laborers, so people supporting collective bargaining, you know, we have to once again take the lead and work to stop the right to work for less laws. We have to see the Protect Our Jobs petition, which I know you've talked about many, many, many times. We have to make sure that succeeds so that we have a constitutional amendment in Michigan to guarantee collective bargaining. We have to draw the line in the sand. We have to stop the attack, not just on public sector workers, on all workers in Michigan. And not just on all workers. Workers represent families. They represent all the people of Michigan. They represent, you know, children. We have to stop this. We have to stop. We have to put people before profits, or else we're going to go down a dark alley.
You know, Stuart, it's fascinating. And if you will, just let me paint this picture for the audience for a moment. You come from a union family. You're you know, certainly that's an important part of your heritage. And I would believe, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I would believe it helped shape the person that you are today. Then, you know, you and Jamie get married. She's a dedicated nurse. You're a dedicated teacher. You're both activists. You both care deeply about your community. And I mean that. I mean, you care deeply about your community. You know, you decided that, you know, when you were gonna take root somewhere, that, you know, you were going to invest, whatever that means. You were going to invest in where you live, and the importance of doing that and reaching out. And people need to understand, Stuart, that when you become an educator, you know, that is a lifetime commitment, no different than any serious commitment you would make in your life. So this is, as we talk about you being whatever a good Democrat means, this isn't just about what that means on paper. This is personal for you, isn't it?
Well, it is personal. My dad was a tool and die worker, UAW member, and we were a UAW household, and unions have been part of my identity. When I started hearing people badmouth unions, I was surprised. You know, I grew up, I never heard that. And to find, you know, unions demonized, to find, you know, teachers demonized, that I never expected. And one of the things I wanted to say is this idea that the teachers right now recalled fail, and the Pavlov recalled fail, and it was very difficult. I wish we had gotten more support from unions in the Pavlov recall, but I understand that there's difficulties. However, we have to put that aside now, and we have to move to a new goal. And the most important goal is to directly take back government, directly take back the House. And one of the things that's amazing to me is how many teachers have taken up that call. Teachers who have, you know, are the most trusted career beside, you know, along with nurses and along with, you know, other professions. They've taken up the call, and right now we need to support them because they'll work as a block. And they don't just come to the legislature with education as their only specialty. A lot of these people have are amazingly bright and have varied backgrounds. Some of the people running for office that your listeners should know about in the area, besides myself, and I hope they'll remember Stuart Sternberg up here in St. Clair County, is Pam Jackson, an educator running for the new 39th.
And in fact, Stuart, she is a former teacher of mine, and I will be joining her next week at a fundraiser where I am proud to be introducing her.
That's wonderful. She's an amazing woman. An amazing West Bloomfield, and she's running for part of Commerce Township as well. Another individual is Steve Losey, who's running for the 51st, and he's going after the seat which was vacated, by the only successful recall in Michigan. And then there's John Nugent, the 82nd, which is in Lapeer. He's not an educator, but he is on the Board of Education there, and he is very understanding and is grounded in education. Another one is Sherry Smith, who is an educator up in San Luis County or involved in education, and she's running in Columbus Township by me, and I'll hopefully be doing a fundraiser with her sometime in the future. So we're moving as a group because we understand that we have to work together, which is one of the reasons, one of the things that's really important is that we support each other. You know, I'm talking about Pam Jackson. I'm running for office, but I'm talking about Pam Jackson and Sherry Smith and John Nugent because what we need to do is we need to work together. It's not enough to have one Democrat elected. It's not enough to have, you know, just raise our amount by a few in the House. We have to work as a block, and that means that people who live in Royal Oak should consider the possibility of, you know, if they have the means, contributing to people in Detroit.
I don't disagree with that, Stuart. And not just in Detroit, people in St. Clair County as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but let me can you stay with us a little longer? We have to take a break.
Sure.
All right, let's do that. Let me get some information out, and then we'll take the break and come back and talk a little longer with Stuart. And we'll get this up on the Facebook page if we haven't already. The website, by the way, is votesternberg.org. That's vote, STERNBERG.org. So do that. The number, if you would like to ask us any questions, 888-552-3595. The email address is always tony@thetonyshow.org. A lot more to get to. Stuart Sternberg, if you don't hear it, if you don't feel it, this is a pretty exceptional guy.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely, so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trippiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trippiano right here on 1310WDTW.
Hey, Tony Trippiano with you indeed. Pleasure to be with you today. And every day, for that matter. Stuart Sternberg is my guest. He is running for the Michigan House of Representatives. A proud Democrat, a proud teacher, a proud activist, and proud to be on the show. You just, again, there's just something infectiously great about Stuart. Remind you again, the website you want to go check out, votesternberg.org. That's STERNBERG.org. And if you'd like to send them a direct email, you can do that at votesternberg@gmail.com. And of course, you can find them on Facebook. Just go ahead and search for them there. You know, Stuart, as we take a look at issues, I mean, yeah, okay, so we understand you've got an education background, but you understand that you're not just going there to make sure teachers get their due. There are some much more there are lots of serious issues that we need to that we need to make sure that we keep our eye on that we seem to have taken our eye off of over the last year and a half plus.
How about job creation? How about instead of wasting time, you know, on the right-wing agenda, we actually, you know, we do what the Republicans claim to have gone there for, which is to do job creation and in Michigan. And you do that, you know, there's different measures you can take. But obviously one for me is collective bargaining, because you ensure, you know, that you have a safe environment for workers. You ensure that you have, you know, quality materials being produced. Also job investment, job training. And instead of, you know, this austerity kick that everyone's on, job, you know, investment in industry. So that's one thing that I think, and a lot of teachers, like Pam, for instance, Pam Jackson, brings to the table. She has some background in business. We all have other specialties. One of my specialties is dealing with youth services. Before I was an educator, I worked in west side of Wayne County with foster care and dealing with issues of sexual and physical abuse and substance abuse. And there's lots of issues that need to be dealt with. But, you know, number one, of course, is job creation. Number two is the idea of getting money out of Lansing, and we've got to do it. We have to have a there are three platforms or three prongs of the things I'm really emphasizing. You hit the first one, which is restoring public education, stopping this insanity and privatization. And the second one for me is, you know, job creation and collective bargaining. And the third one for me is this idea of government transparency and accountability. And I hate using the word accountability for because that's been a term that's been used against teachers like a spear through the heart. You know, it's a code word for we're coming to get you. But accountability for government should mean that corporations that are contributing to legislators, we need to know who they are, and we need to know how much they're giving, and we need to have laws that rein in these lobbyists, and maybe we need to make sure that part of that constitutional amendment says that if you're running for office and you serve in Michigan, there has to be a period of time before you can jump in and become a lobbyist, because I promise you, a lot of these individuals, and probably Mr. Pavlov, who I wouldn't be surprised will end up working for the Mackinac Center or for some charter school corporation. We've got to stop that from happening because that's the heart of corruption. There was a survey that was done that showed Michigan had one of the most corrupt governments in the country from that perspective. We can't allow that to continue. So the constitutional amendment will begin to make the government more responsible to the people. You won't see emergency managers going in, setting their own salaries and selling off public assets and, you know, firing people who are elected and overturning the will of the people. Not if you have a responsive government. And we need to make sure we're doing that.
Well, you, Stuart, and it's critical as we move forward. And, you know, you understand, you would of course, reference knocking on doors. There's nothing that replaces that, by the way. I would guess, and I haven't been with you, and if you'd like me to come knock some doors with you, let me know, and I'll come out and do that. But, Stuart, I would think that as you're knocking on doors, as you're talking to people, as you're educating, because there's a lot of education that goes on that porch step, there's no question that's true. You know, I sometimes, again, as I was a candidate, would get concerned by how little people know, but then I realized that that's part of the empowerment process, making sure that we educate people as candidates, as elected the members of our community, that, you know, one of our responsibilities is to educate people. So that brings me to just a very basic question. And of course, Stuart, you know I'm a huge advocate of education, especially public education. It really is the foundation of everything, everything we do. Without education, without a fundamentally strong public education system, we are not ensuring a future for our next generation of people. We're just not.
What's the infrastructure? If you're, you know, it's the infrastructure. What we've done to education is we have shortchanged ourselves and hurt ourselves for the next 10 years. And regarding education, let me backtrack one quick second. You know, I was talking about the Pavlov recall and the fact that we didn't succeed. However, we didn't succeed, but we did not fail. I cannot tell you how many people we talked to during that recall process who did not know what was going on, who turned around and then signed a petition. We educated many, many, many people in St. Clair County as to just how heinous Pavlov and his crew were. You know, so education is, the more people know, and knowledge is power, the more you empower people.
Well, you know, it's clearly, you know, if we were to replace people like Pavlov and Tom McMillan and some of the real enemies of that foundation, we really do need to be very thoughtful when we go into that voting booth, Stuart Sternberg, that we are making sure that we, and I've tried to make this as easy as I possibly can for this audience. It needs to be personal. So when you go vote for that someone, when it's Stuart Sternberg, make sure that Stuart represents what matters to me.
And that's a good point, because you also have, in, you know, all around primary challenges, and you have to be able to look at, when you're going into the booth for primary, you have to make sure that the person represents you. You have to make sure that person, hopefully you're progressive, and you're making sure that person has your progressive ideals, regardless perhaps sometimes of where the endorsement might be. Do they represent you? Are they rank and file? And I think that's critical.
Well, there's no question that is true. You mentioned endorsements. Listen, all you know, candidates get them. And are they important? Yeah, yes and no. I will never forget when I first ran. You know, my campaign manager sat me down, and because right away people wanted bumper stickers and lawn signs, and she said, you know, Tony, all that stuff will come, but yard signs don't vote, endorsements don't vote, people vote, and it's exactly. about connecting with people.
Exactly, and endorsements can sometimes, you know, look pretty on a web page, but the people sometime who that endorsement might possibly, you know, target are not necessarily going to vote for you. And so that's important. What you need to do is you need to connect with people. You know, as long as you have integrity, as long as you're speaking the truth, as long as you're reaching out to people and you really care and you have passion and you have a good vision, a vision that's meaningful, I think you're going to succeed.
Absolutely. Stuart, we're just out of time for today. Obviously, you're one of those people with vision. We'll, of course, look forward to visiting with you in the very near future. In the meantime, vote Sternberg. .org. Stuart, thanks so much for your time this morning. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Tony. You take care.
And blessings to you, my friend. A quick break here. State Representative Harvey Santana in an interview you don't want to miss. Coming up next right here on First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Continuous Traffic Watch.
Checking your traffic this time around, we do have a problem on the Southfield Freeway southbound at the Ford Road exit. We have.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
At last, we have a clear sign that Mitt Romney really is a man of the people. The proof of his populist pudding came on his recent political foray to jolly old England. While in London, the multimillionaire financier and presidential hopeful showed his common touch by chowing down with about 250 local folks on a humble meal of fish and chips, served up in paper cones. Wow, down home. Well, not exactly. Folks mischaracterizes Mitt's crowd since the ticket price for the chow down was $25,000 to $75,000 per head. For fish and chips. As one somewhat surprised attendee noted, it was the most expensive halibut in town. And the donors were not truly locals, but American financiers who were top executives working in the London financial district for the biggest Wall Street and British banks, hedge funds, and such private equity outfits as Romney's own money machine, Bain Capital. They were drawn to Mitt's political flame because, one, he hails from their self-centered and self-serving world, and two, he fully embraces their sad complaint that public criticism and the push for more regulation of elite bankers has gone too far. With tongue-clucking empathy, Romney assured these privileged ones that America's banking reforms were unnecessary and overly burdensome, and he would repeal them. However, the timing of his denunciation of U.S. policy was off, for British banks such as Barclays and HSBC are presently ensnared in public scandals involving massive consumer rip-offs and gross ethical violations. Still, in this ornate ballroom with millionaires munching the food of the commoners, any outrage from actual commoners was, as one muncher said dismissively, just background noise. This is Jim Hightower saying, yeah, power to the 1%.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to,
Visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift,
Mitt Romney said yesterday that President Obama's comment about businesses not building things themselves wasn't a gaffe, it's his philosophy. Is Fox News the one that bastardized the quote? Is that where the origin of this is?
Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Stephen Monroe.
He wants to give credit to government as though government plays a super role.
It does play a super role. What the hell is wrong with you, Steve? Hang up the phone. Sweet God. Government doesn't play a role. Where would we be without government? Where would we be without government? Where would we be without liberals? What is wrong with you? There's a sickness in this country, an absolute sickness called conservatism. Republicanism is a mental illness. I'm convinced of it.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Let's turn our attention to our next guest and talk about the legislation that we're referencing. Joining me now is Melanie McElroy. Melanie is Executive Director of Common Cause of Michigan. Common Cause is a national nonpartisan organization that promotes accessibility and transparency in government. Melanie is also co-chair of the Michigan Election Coalition for 2012, and she joins us this morning to talk about this series of bills. And I want to thank you, Melanie, for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you, Tony.
I will honor and recognize your nonpartisan status because I think it's important that we do that. We just happen to agree on this one issue, but I want to make it clear to folks that Common Cause really is dedicated, as I define you, and you are a nonpartisan organization, so I wanted to make sure we said that up front.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what's happening here in the state of Michigan. Senate bills 751, 754, and 803. Well, first of all, do we want to lump them together, or should we take some time and educate our audience as to what each one of those do, Melanie?
Absolutely. And this package is actually part of a national trend, like you said. There's been voter suppression legislation in the forms of photo ID, in the form of citizenship checkbox requirements, and restrictions on our registration, and they've been popping up in states around the country, and like you said, they're getting ready for the major presidential election that we have this year. So let's start with Senate Bill 751, and my concerns with this bill are that it would require absentee ballots to be automatically challenged if a voter has not voted in 6 years. And so, as we know, military service members, their families, they're most likely to be to use absentee ballot procedures and thus be more likely to have their ballots challenged, which is absolutely un-American, and those are the people that we should be protecting first. This would also affect families who have moved around in the last couple of years. We've seen a lot of our neighbors go through foreclosure, and students that have to go and study away from home, get jobs elsewhere, then come back. And this affects a lot of the people who deserve to be heard on Election Day, and they wouldn't be. So those are my concerns with Senate Bill 751.
Okay, then, go ahead. Let's just keep moving.
All right, and then 754. I mean, I've been talking about this one for months. It's a photo ID requirement. It's partially photo ID and partially registration, but the photo ID requirements really disproportionately exclude seniors, minorities, young people, and low-income Michiganders from the ballot box. And we have an example in widely cited studies around the country that one in four African Americans lack a photo ID. And we should be helping people obtain these sorts of documentations, not barring them from their fundamental right to vote. And we also know that disabled voters often don't even drive and therefore don't have a driver's license to begin with, not to mention our seniors who have been longtime voters in Michigan, know the procedure, know what to do, get excited about Election Day each year, but may not have the documentation anymore that they would need to go out and get this ID. They may not have a birth certificate anymore. They may not have a passport. And therefore, we're just burdening some of our most loyal voters on Election Day. And the other part of Senate Bill 754 would require anyone conducting third-party voter registration to be trained by the Secretary of State's Bureau of Elections before collecting applications. So this means if you and your coworkers provided your own staff with forms there in your office or walked around the block and helped people get registered to vote, you would have to be first finding a training location and then being certified by a Secretary of State's certified training person. We haven't really found out too many details about this yet. But you'd have to go through all of these hoops before registering any new voters, even if you've been doing this for 10 years in a row. And any volunteers that you took along with you would not be able to participate in registration drives under this new legislation unless they signed forms threatening them with criminal prosecution for registration offenses that haven't been clearly defined. So that's just not fair. I mean, we rely on these third-party organizations like League of Women Voters, who have an excellent record of flawless voter registration, have been doing it for over 70 years. That even civics teachers in your local high school who register their students, or university clubs who go to dorm to dorm and register their peers. So we would see a major, major drop in new voter registration, and therefore civic engagement in our state, which is really important.
And there's no question. We saw what happened in the state of Florida when the League of Women Voters, because they were the fear of prosecution, fear of being felons, stopped their efforts, which they had been doing for, I don't know, 9 decades.
Right.
And I'm not exaggerating. 90 years they've been doing this, and they stopped doing it. We saw a substantial reduction in new voter registration. So we can just keep this a little neater. Let's move on to the Senate Bill 803, and then we'll neatly put all this together.
Yeah, the Senate Bill 803 requires an additional checkbox where you affirm your citizenship on an absentee voter application and even on your election day ballot. And we saw this was actually implemented in Michigan during our presidential primary, and it caused a lot of confusion for longtime voters because we already have to affirm our citizenship when we register to vote. And now we're asking our voters to do that again, and it's redundant and unnecessary, and we have no evidence of non-citizens voting in Michigan elections, and so it's only caused more work for our clerks and more confusion and unrest at the polls. So we're absolutely against this redundant measure, because if you were a citizen the day you registered, chances are you have not revoked your citizenship if you're going to vote at the polls.
Of course, there are going to be those devil's advocates that are going to say, listen, what's the big deal? A photo ID is a photo ID, so you've got to, pull it on. And I've had this argument with, God bless that wonderful old lady that's at my voting place every time I vote. I need to see her ID, and I always give her a hard time in a nice way. Melanie, I'm not mean to her, but, she keeps on insisting. Well, now she's doing it legitimately, didn't realize that eventually she'd end up there. But, what about those that say, well, what's the big deal? It's a picture ID. So what?
Well, my issue with that is that what the argument I often get is that you show an ID to buy a pack of cigarettes or to buy a beer, but those aren't fundamental rights. And voting in our elections here in Michigan and around the country, those are our fundamental rights as American citizens. And so we should be making it I'm not saying make it easy so that there's room for fraud, but we should be protecting that right. We should be helping people get to the polls. I mean, the best way to actually affirm one's identity is through a signature. Your signature doesn't change, and I don't know about you, but I've had so many hairstyles that if you go back through the years and look at my photo IDs, my sister could pass as myself, and I don't feel that that's necessary to put so many people through these hoops to jump when I don't think a photo ID is the best way to identify a person's identity.
Well, let's talk for a minute here before we go to break about cost. Is there a cost associated with this legislation?
Absolutely, and especially the trainings required by the third-party organization registration with people having to, we have upwards of 10,000 volunteers who go out every year and register voters. Now we'd have to find them a location, train them, certify them, and, that doesn't even take into account the amount of time that our citizenship checkbox checkers that are looking after that, people who are checking ID. I mean, just extra burdens on each election polling location. It's going to cost the state of Michigan a lot of money. And, hey, if we get in trouble like Florida did, we're going to be up to our necks in legal costs as well.
Well, and that really is one of my fears, not to mention the fact that there are people that really can't afford, I don't care how much an ID is, they don't have that little bit of money.
Absolutely. And our clerk's offices and their tireless election officers and poll workers and volunteers, they need our support, not more hoops to jump through and redundant regulations. So these bills will burden our election infrastructure at a time when, as you know, a lot of our cities and towns are struggling financially.
Well, it certainly begs the question, Melanie McElroy. So let me ask it. If we weren't to do any of this, or we were to do all of this, what does it really change anything?
I mean, I don't think so. We hear a lot of allegations of fraud, but there's no evidence that there's fraud in Michigan in our elections. I mean, we found that some prisoners and some dead people have been found voting in the last couple of years. Even our Secretary of State office has said that those were clerical errors. And so we need to be supporting our officers, our clerks, in being able to make this a flawless process. We
absolutely
don't need to be giving them more stuff.
Hey, Melanie, stay with us. Would you please? We've got to get to a break. Melanie McElroy is my guest with Michigan's Common Cause.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Truppiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Truppiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen.
Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310WDTW.
Michigan has got much closer to making voting harder after the House approved the three bills yesterday, tightening the requirements for casting a ballot. The bills passed along party lines. The one with new requirements for voter registration drives passed with 66 votes. And that is important because under the Michigan state constitution, you need a two-thirds majority for a bill to become law right away. That's 73 votes, not 66. If you have 73 votes, the Constitution says you can put the law into effect immediately. Otherwise, you wait until the following year, in this case until 2013, and then the presidential election is already over. Putting laws into immediate effect is not unusual in Michigan. Both parties have done it for some time, but lately Michigan Democrats in the House have begun asking Republicans to prove they have sufficient votes for immediate effect, which is something Michigan Democrats are empowered to do under the state constitution. Yesterday, Michigan Democrats looked at the 66 votes for this legislation they firmly oppose, and when Republicans made a motion for immediate effect, the Democrats immediately objected. Under the Michigan Constitution, you can get a recorded roll call vote, so you can count the votes if enough lawmakers request one. In the House, 22 lawmakers have to ask for that vote in order to get it. The problem, according to Democrats, is that Republicans are ignoring the request. They deny them that vote. Check out this tape House Democrats sent over from yesterday's vote. So what you're seeing there, Republicans move for immediate effect. Democrats run up to ask for a record roll call vote. And Republicans then gavel in immediate effect. When the Republican speaker does that, he's saying that in his personal judgment, 73 lawmakers stood to support immediate effect in those few seconds. So that's a quick count he made. Even though the measure only passed with 66 votes, and the chamber is filled with Democrats crying out their protest. After the voting, 22 lawmakers read their objection into the official record, 22 again being the number you needed to require the roll call vote the Democrats wanted.
And there we go. Let me first of all remind everybody, my guest is Melanie McElroy. She is with Common Cause of Michigan. We're talking about transparency in government. You know, I'm hoping Common Cause or somebody will step up, perhaps challenge the Republicans. I understand that both sides have done it. That doesn't make it right, Melanie. And we've got a problem here, especially when it's dealing with legislations like these in the House, the voter, and this it was around the issue of voter suppression laws, with something that should matter to everybody. This should transcend partisanship anyway.
Absolutely.
Oh, this is, again, very, very disturbing. What happens? I mean, we're going to give a number out in just a moment for the governor's office. We're going to ask him, of course, we're going to ask this audience to ask the governor to not sign this legislation. But the Senate hasn't passed it yet. Is that my understanding?
Right. My understanding is that that could happen today. Obviously, we never really know what timeline we have for these things. But my understanding is that that will be passed before they go on break.
Okay. And that, of course, today is that last day. And I do understand they're prepared to work late into the evening if need be. Because, God forbid, we wouldn't want them working any longer. Actually, we don't want them at this point working any longer than they have to. Because we see what happens when they do work. So let me give out that number again right now, 517-373-3400. That's to the governor's office. And you'll just ask him that when this legislation comes to his desk, because we can pretty much guarantee that it will pass in the Senate. They've got the supermajority in the Senate, so we can guarantee that it will pass, that he votes or that he does not sign this legislation. Do we have any indication, Melanie McElroy, has the governor talked at all about this legislation? Because I looked before you and I came on this morning, and I didn't see anything from his office commenting on this legislation in any way.
And we haven't either. And our group and several others have reached out to him. We plan to hopefully ask for a meeting with him before he's able to see this package at his desk. And we haven't really heard a single reaction. Obviously, he's busy with his bridge and many other things, but I'm surprised that something that would affect so many Michigan voters has not really been spoken about by the governor. He did, in his State of the State address, talk a little bit about ethics and about transparency, and I think this is a big part of that.
Let's talk a little bit about giving some testimony. Did anybody in the House or anybody in the Senate reach out to Common Cause and ask your thoughts or ask you if you would like to give any testimony, either to support or to talk against this legislation?
Yes, there were a number of Democratic legislators who did reach out to the progressive groups, but like you said, they're a small minority in our legislature. And so I was at many a committee hearing on this, and the committee hearing in the House, led by Chairman of Elections Pete Lund, as you know, is an ALEC member, a member of the American Legislative Exchange Council, and this is a cookie-cutter bill of theirs. And so there really wasn't a whole lot of interest in what we had to say, unfortunately.
We know, and certainly so much of the good work that Common Cause has done, and there's been plenty of good work that Common Cause has done, we know that you have certainly been able to demonstrate and articulate throughout the country that the kind of laws that the Michigan legislature is trying to accomplish through these Senate bills, and again, let me give the numbers out again, 751, 754, and 803. We know this kind of legislation has not done anything to shore up what may be holes or leaks in voter fraud or in any kind of illegal activity. In fact, we would have to really look to see that laws have been broken. And in fact, if we find laws that have been broken, this kind of legislation wouldn't solve those problems anyway.
Absolutely. This would just cause more problems for our elections officials and I think confuse voters, which usually means longer lines at the polls and people turn away.
Well, that brings us back, unfortunately, Melanie McElroy, to where we start. I mean, there's a certain amount. You ask yourself, you know, everybody runs on job creation, right? Let's just be honest about it. There isn't a Republican that you and I couldn't mention right now in the State House that didn't run on job creation. This doesn't really create any jobs at all. In fact, it has nothing to do with employment in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. And I mean, the way I look at it, the greatest day in a democracy is Election Day. But in Michigan, we have only 43% of eligible voters coming out to the polls. And what we should be thinking about is, how do we get that number up to 100%? And Michigan's one of the few states left in the country that does not have early voting, does not have no-excuse absentee voting, does not have Election Day registration or online voter registration. So in my opinion, instead of making it harder to vote, we should be making voting more accessible for young voters and our seniors and everyone else in Michigan.
Well, you know, folks, I'm sure that maybe the irony didn't escape you, but we, of course, run a public service announcement at least once every hour encouraging people to register to vote. In fact, if you go to thetonyshow.org, at the very top, you can download the form to register. We've been running it for well over a year now. We would have to actually stop that under this legislation.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's absolutely insane. Well, we're going to keep an eye on it. Again, the governor's office's number is 517-373-3400. Pay attention, folks. This does matter. It all matters. Melanie McElroy, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Tony.
I appreciate it. This is just wrong. Congressman Gary Peters on the other side. A lot to get to, folks. Stay where you're at. We'll be back on First Shift right after.
That will wrap it up for now on the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember, we're always interacting on Facebook on the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page. Add a like, tell a friend, grow the community today. Also on Twitter at Tony Trupiano, TonyTrupiano. And, of course, email, if you still use it. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone still uses email. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Thanks to everyone who appreciates and supports the show. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Jeff Radford, and I hope you enjoyed this hour of the show. Now, stay tuned for the latest news brought to you by NBC News.
Next time you need to stop the groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This traffic update is brought to you by T-Mobile.
Your busy morning commute continues. Let's head over to 94 westbound at Rotunda Drive, where an accident has the right lane blocked and traffic is stopped from Lano. Also, 94 westbound at West Grand Boulevard, that ramp is closed as crews move a crash vehicle. And we still got that problem on 75 southbound at 94. Flooding has traffic getting by in the left lane only, and traffic is stopped from McNichols Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Stay a step ahead of the weather with the all-new Samsung 4G smartphone available from T-Mobile. The buy one, get one Samsung 4G device sale is going on now for a limited time only. New two-year agreement and mail-in rebate card required.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here. But then one of my buddies showed me this website. And now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 in the morning right here on 1310 WDTW Dearborn, Detroit. Now here's NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikulczewski. The two candidates topping the presidential tickets are running hard in the Midwest today. President Obama on the second day of a three-day bus tour through Iowa. Republican candidate Mitt Romney winding up his four-day, four-state bus tour with three stops in Ohio. President Obama has taken action to ease the financial pain for farmers hit hard by the drought. NBC's Steve Handelsman.
Ordering the federal government to buy $150 million worth of meat and fish from hard-hit farmers.
The president at the Iowa State Fair accused Republicans of blocking disaster aid. At the same state fair, Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney's new running mate, was the target of hecklers. A fast-moving wildfire has burned 40 homes in central Washington state. A Connecticut utility has reimbursed a woman more than $10,000 after it billed her for 25 years for electricity used to power streetlights near her home. This is NBC News Radio. A new survey from MoneyRates.com shows the fees charged by banks for various services are being hiked. Banks are increasing their costs for checking accounts, ATMs, and overdrafts. Meanwhile, Americans are putting more of their purchases on plastic.
TransUnion says average credit card debt rose 6% this spring to $4,971.
That's CNBC's Courtney Regan. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says two cars have earned a good rating on a new partial frontal crash test. The Acura TL and Volvo S60 are the only two cars to earn that rating out of 11 tested. Aerospace engineers at California's Edwards Air Force Base are working on an experimental aircraft designed to fly at 3,600 miles an hour. A key test over the Pacific today for the X-51A Wave Rider. An airliner traveling at that speed could fly from Los Angeles to New York in only 46 minutes. Stock futures today moving higher ahead of a report on U.S. retail sales. I'm Jim Mikulczewski, NBC News Radio.
You won't want to miss the three-day sale going on this weekend at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only, O'Reilly Auto Parts will offer incredible sale prices on products your vehicle uses every day. Hurry in this weekend because these sale prices won't last long. Stock up and save big at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford senior master technician. Can the work save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, by making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Get the service you need and save money on gas. $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate at your local Ford dealer.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you for the Works Fuel Saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Claim based on EPA averages. See your participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 83112.
Optimism throughout the nation's small business community is getting smaller. This hour, the National Federation of Independent Business is releasing its Optimism Index, which fell again in July, mostly due to earnings trends showing greater weakness. Complementing what the small business community is reporting about earnings, we have another big business revealing a difficult earnings trend. Home Depot reporting a 12% increase in profit for last quarter, also a hike in its earnings forecast for the full year. But like so many other companies this earnings reporting season, Home Depot reveals revenue, sales, weaker than expected. Right now we're seeing stock futures up just a little bit, S&P futures gaining 3, NASDAQ futures up 5, Dow futures up 27. Stock and Groupon deeply discounted today, shares tumbling 19%, even after the online coupon company posted its first ever profit. With revenue up 45% from a year ago, its prediction for slow earnings growth in future quarters disappointed investors. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Jay with SafeLight Auto Glass.
We know you depend on your vehicle, so when you have auto glass damage, you need it fixed fast. SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so when you schedule a replacement with SafeLight, we'll get you back on your way faster. Plus, our work is backed by the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered anywhere.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed.
Anyway, listen, we've got some important stuff to get to. I find this fascinating. I've been watching what you guys are doing during this bus tour, and I think Mitt Romney's biggest problem is the press is paying attention to the Democrats and not the Republican candidate.
Well, I'll tell you, Romney's bus tour has hit a number of speed bumps along the way, you know, on not just ours, which is running, you know, our tour is running a day ahead of his. You know, so we're in Michigan today, and he's in Iowa and Wisconsin. He'll be in Michigan tomorrow, but you know, he has run into Americans all across this bus tour that don't want any part of his plans for the economy, what we call Romney economics. And there's a famous, famous incident in Pennsylvania where he was scheduled to make a stop and he didn't even go there because he didn't want to confront Americans that, that disagree with him. And, that's not President Obama. You've seen him. He's, you know, often been willing to talk to Americans who disagree with him. Mitt Romney doesn't want to confront the fact that his policies are wrong for middle-class Americans.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Brad Woodhouse, as we talk issues, and we are certainly talking issues here in Detroit, I think it's important that we continue to hold both of these men to a standard. Now, the president does talk about his jobs program, which is, of course, detailed on the White House website. They can go look at it anytime they want. You know, we've seen other assorted, pro-Democrat groups like the Blue-Green Alliance, who was just with us on this program, talking about a jobs program. So let's talk about, we can't. I was going to say let's talk about Mitt Romney's jobs program, but he doesn't have one, Brad.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, that's what's so incredible about this election. We're confronting in this election an issue about jobs and the economy, something that the president has been working on. I mean, people in Michigan know well, one of the very first things that the president did, something that was very unpopular around the rest of the country, was his effort to help to save the American automobile industry, something that Mitt Romney opposed, and you've talked about a thousand times. He said, let Detroit go bankrupt. But let's set that aside. The president has worked on jobs ever since he got into office. Once the Republicans took over the House, they stopped any effort to create jobs because they thought it might help the president. And now you have Romney running, and he has a plan that economists say wouldn't do anything to create jobs in the short term, and actually would likely cost jobs. That's not what the American people are looking for. In fact, Romney admitted somewhere on his bus tour that the cuts that he's proposed, these Ryan Romney cuts, would slow the economy down.
Well,
oh, my God.
What kind of plan
is that?
Well, it's not a plan. You know, it's interesting because as we really sit down and you know, I have an obligation, of course, to be informed. And so that requires I spend just as much time with the Romney quote unquote stuff as I do with the Obama stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The problem is it doesn't take me long to go through the Romney stuff because there's no stuff there. There's no substance. And what's really starting to concern me, whether he's in a bakery somewhere in the Midwest or you know, he's with his friends in La Jolla, California, you know, doing these multi-gazillion-dollar fundraisers, people just seem really uncomfortable with Governor Romney. And speaking of governor, you know, that he even can wear that title is kind of embarrassing because his record as governor is nothing to be proud of.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, you know, let's talk about his plans for a second, or lack thereof. Mitt Romney doesn't want to talk about an economic program. What he wants to do is bash the president. It is almost all he does. His stump speeches, as you mentioned, never talk about what he did in Massachusetts because there's no record there to run on. I mean, it was 47th out of 50 in jobs. Everyone knows that statistic. But even worse, I mean, what I think, you know, people need to know is that he wants to do to America what he did in Massachusetts, which he gave very nice, lucrative tax breaks to 278 families in Massachusetts to the tune of $75 million, raised fees on everyone else, all the middle class, all the people trying to get in the middle class, raised fees on driver's license. There's one famous one that was mentioned on this tour by some of the people we have traveling around from Massachusetts, that he raised the fee on blind people to get a card to prove they were blind. I mean, it was, you know, unbelievable what he did in Massachusetts. And, you know, to raise fees and to cut services to provide tax breaks to wealthy people like himself. And he wants to do the same thing if he got into the White House.
Well, it's interesting, Brad Woodhouse, as we look, let's talk about briefly about the Michigan Road to Recovery Tour. The president was basically saying, you know, get out your magnifying glass and really look at what look at my record and let's talk about it. We can't. I mean, this little Romney tour that's coming through the state tomorrow is actually asking us to put away our magnifying glass and actually asking us to put away our memories, because he doesn't. Again, he does not want to talk about the issues that matter most to people that are out of work, that need health care. You know, if we look at what's going to happen with regard to under a Romney plan, what would happen with regard to, you know, getting young people into college. I could go on, Brad, on and on and on. And the bottom line is, we will return to George W. Bush policies that killed this country, and we can ill afford to do this.
Well, it's exactly right. And the thing that's most scary about the Romney policies is that you're right. He's proposing the same playbook that Republicans always propose, and it was the same playbook followed by George W. Bush, and that is to let Wall Street, let polluters, let oil companies, let them write all of their own rules, right, for how they do their business, for how they treat their employees, let the insurance companies, help insurance companies go back to, telling people how and what type of medical care they're gonna get. He just believes in putting all the power in the market. And look, the market's important. We want the market to do well. We want the auto industry to do well. But there has to be the right balance, and he believes that the market can solve all our problems. 07-08, there are not many Americans that look back on that and think the market can solve all our problems. But he wants to take the Bush policies and even go further. More tax cuts on top of keeping the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest. He has no plan to deal with the debt and deficit because he wants to borrow money for more tax cuts for the wealthy. That's not what the American people need. They need a balanced approach that the president's proposing.
Well, there's no question, Brad Woodhouse, that's true. Listen, we're going to have to let you go here in just a minute, but before we do that, it's critical, and I want people, as I always say, you know, folks, if I say something and you can prove me wrong, I'm fine with that. But let's look at for just a minute at what Mitt Romney is promising. And so I stopped and I thought, okay, I'm going to have Brad on tomorrow, so let me go find that list. He's not promising anything.
Right.
No, Brad, I'm not exaggerating. Mitt Romney's not telling us that he will do anything.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, mainly what he's doing is he's saying, I'm going to get President Obama out of the White House. But here's one of the things that's most interesting about this tour, Tony, is that he is literally going to places. He was in. He's going to be in Iowa today, which is at 5.1% unemployment. We know Michigan's unemployment rate has dropped dramatically. Over the last 3 years, he was in Ohio. They've had 10 consecutive months where the unemployment rate has dropped. It's below the national average there. So he's going to these states and saying, you know, President Obama's terrible for workers. He's terrible on jobs. He's terrible on the economy. And he's going into states where the economies have demonstrably improved as a result of the president's policies. That's going to be his biggest problem, is convincing people that the president doesn't have us on the right path. Now, the president has said many times, we need to do more and do it more quickly. The big problem we have right now, Tony, is Republicans, like the one he appeared with in Ohio yesterday, John Boehner, refused to work with the president to do the things that we've always done in this country to create jobs, and that's invest in people, invest in infrastructure, invest in education, research and development. They just want more tax breaks for the wealthy and cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security.
Brad Woodhouse, I got to tell you, I loved your quote this weekend when you said, Mr. Boehner, could you please go back to Washington, D.C. and pass a jobs bill, please?
That's right. Get off the bus and go back to Washington.
Yeah. Well, he needs to do that. You know, he just needs to do that. In the meantime, Brad Woodhouse, I'll hopefully get a chance to visit with you again very, very soon. People don't need to go that far to find what the president stands for. All they need to do is open a newspaper or watch a press conference, and you know.
Well, it's absolutely right. Yeah. That's absolutely right. I think the president articulates it better than anyone, any one of us that are out working for him. And I thought he did a great job in Cleveland last week. And, you know, we need a balanced approach. You know, there are people that need to pay more of their fair share. There are certainly programs and, things in government that can be scaled back. Everyone needs to make some sacrifices, but everyone needs to play by the same set of rules. Mitt Romney thinks that there's a set of rules for him. And people like him, and then a set of rules for everybody else.
No question, that's true. Brad Woodhouse, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it, and we will talk to you again soon.
Great, Tony, anytime. Thank you.
You bet, brother. Appreciate it. Brad Woodhouse, Communications Director of the Democratic National Committee.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Truppiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Poor Alec just keeps bumbling, stumbling, and tumbling. You could feel sorry for such a hapless soul, except that this isn't a person, but the soulless ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. This secretive corporate front is behind hundreds of regressive and repressive bills that are being pushed through Republican-controlled state legislatures. Its bills and tactics are so venomous that 35 of ALEC's brand-name corporate funders, from Amazon to Walmart, have withdrawn their names and money this year. But with the billionaire Koch brothers and others behind it, ALEC will continue stumbling ahead with his far-right agenda. Condemning it is one thing, but what's really needed is a non-corporate, independent, above-board, overtly progressive alternative to ALEC's special interest backroom conniving. A clean source of model legislation readily available for the consideration of local and state public officials and the public at large. Well, great news, folks. ALICE will soon arrive. The American Legislative and Issues Campaign Exchange, or ALICE, is not just a clever play on ALEC's name, but an effective counter to its agenda and methods. Originated by Joel Rogers, one of progressive America's most creative thinkers and doers, ALICE will offer a one-stop, web-based public library of about 1,000 model laws on a wide range of policy issues, complete with in-depth background materials. It's a nationwide cooperative effort that already has enlisted a couple of hundred professors, policy experts, students, lawyers, and others who are volunteering their brains, energy, and time to assemble a first-rate, easily accessible library open to all lawmakers, mayors, grassroots groups, media, and, well, everyone. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you'd like to help ALICE in some way, go to www.alicelaw.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Truppiano right here on 1310WDTW.
Are you ready for a dose of truth? And interestingly, as we had a week in the state house and the state senate that would make any former and should make any legislator embarrassed, we have Mark Schauer on to discuss things that actually do matter. And so, Mark, I want to thank you for giving us some of your time this morning.
Oh, you're welcome, Tony. It's always my pleasure.
I have to ask, as we were about to talk about transportation infrastructure and the jobs that that can create, we could obviously talk about the announcement of the bridge on Friday and how important that will be, not just for construction jobs, but, you know, for making Michigan, once again, an important cog, and not just in the Michigan machine, yes, but in a regional machine. And as we take a look at some other issues, is the legislature here in the state of Michigan, do they have their priorities in the wrong place?
Well, I think we have to remember what happened, especially last year in the legislature when they provided a huge tax cut to corporations while cutting the earned income tax credit for working poor people, created a new pension tax, you know, cut funding for schools, universities, community colleges, and you know, the states that win and the countries that win in this global economy are those that make wise investments. And businesses will tell you when they pick places to locate in this new high-tech global economy, they pick educated states and educated communities, and those that are making investments in innovation, new technology, manufacturing. So the bridge, for example, I think is a very good investment. One, it positions us to, again, be a global manufacturing hub and a hub that attracts, you know, high-tech research and development, because the infrastructure is in place to support all of the relating manufacturing. And, you know, we talk a lot about automotive manufacturing, and that's a big part of the clean economy, because we see Detroit leading again in producing, you know, the vehicles of the future, the vehicles that consumers want, that produce fewer greenhouse gas emissions and are cheaper to drive because they use less gasoline, making us less dependent on foreign oil. And but that manufacturing, Tony, is also about manufacturing the wind turbines and all of the components, many of which are closely related to the automotive industry, components for solar panels and solar arrays and so forth. And, you know, so infrastructure, innovation, new technology, and educated workforce all go hand in hand. And, you know, the Blue-Green Alliance believes we need a jobs plan, and our Jobs 21 plan includes all of these components and many others. And too many folks out there on the trail, so to speak, don't have anything close to a jobs plan.
Well, let me throw out some numbers and let's Mark Schauer talk about a little bit. In the state of Michigan, as an example, there are over 43,000 Michiganders who work in the highway and transit related fields. You know, we take a look at President Obama. Had certainly, in part of his jobs plan, had talked about building infrastructure, roads and,
right.
and bridges.
Right.
We know that he's willing to and has demonstrated a necessity in investing in green jobs and in being inclusive of the blue
right.
community. So, you know, we're keeping with our Blue-Green Alliance theme here, Mark
right.
Schauer. This isn't pie-in-the-sky stuff. At the same time,
no.
we have a legislature both at the federal level and the state level that isn't doing any, not even having a discussion about this. This is what I find very disturbing.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the clock is going to run out in 12 days on the current transportation bill, and you know, I was in Congress on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and you know, since that time, when the 6-year transportation law expired, there have been 9 extensions. You know, this Congress is having a hard time doing anything, and it's because of, you know, the insanity of the House, where, you know, they actually wanted to sort of gut transit funding and historically dedicated revenue to transit, which we know is putting thousands of people to work in Michigan, helping people get to work in a very environmentally friendly way, plus, you know, all the manufacturing jobs that that industry supports, some of which are right here in Michigan. And then you talked about, you know, hardworking, skilled, trained men and women in the union trades that that build our infrastructure, that produce the steel, that work the cranes and do the underground work, do the paving and all of that. You know, those workers, you know, the unemployment rate for folks in the building trades is double the unemployment rate, and probably even higher than that. It's at least double, Tony. And held a press conference in Lansing with some of the trades and with transit and the Michigan Infrastructure and Transportation Association. Take $1.5 billion, Tony, $1.5 billion to fix Michigan roads. And, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's had to replace a tire and a rim because of the condition of our roads. And, you know, it's bad for business when our infrastructure is so bad. And it's just, to me, it's the closest thing to a no-brainer that I can think of. And, you know, we've got a Congress that can't pass that transportation bill, and it runs out June 30. And let me just underscore, this is not partisan, because the Senate did its work. The Senate passed a bill with broad bipartisan support. I think they had 70 votes. Broad bipartisan support, Tony, and, you know, the House can't get it done under Speaker Boehner. And, you know, President Obama's ready to sign it. We've got workers ready to do the work and people ready to produce the steel, we will see all the jobs that result from that. So I can't figure out what's going on there, Tony.
Well, I don't claim to be the smartest guy in the world, but the Republicans keep on using this term "kick the can down the road" every time we talk about more investment in infrastructure. But Mark Schauer, at some level, doesn't the cost that you talked about, $1.5 billion, isn't the cost of delaying this keep on increasing what it will cost to fix this stuff?
Well, it's like neglecting repairs on your home. You know, sort of pay now or pay later. And, you know, communities that have their act together, they do, you know, routine maintenance of their roads and bridges and infrastructure. And, countries like Germany and China are spending, you know, 2 and 3 times more per capita than what we do on our infrastructure. It's just a bad way to conduct business to neglect something as basic as our infrastructure. And, you know, included in that are things like rail, high-speed passenger rail. Unfortunately, under President Obama, we've seen high-speed passenger rail become a priority. And I'll tell you, in my hometown of Battle Creek, just last week, the ribbon was cut on the updated intermodal transportation facility, the train station that's shared with transit. It was $3.6 million that I helped secure under the Recovery Act, the stimulus that put people to work, has created a state-of-the-art facility that's really going to be an anchor in downtown. It will attract people to use transit. And you know, that's an example of a common sense investment that really is a win, just all the way around.
No question, Mark. We're just out of time for today. I want to thank you, though, for spending some time with us. And as I say every time we have you on, you'll be back soon.
Look forward to it. Next time, let's talk a little bit more about the production tax credit, renewable energy.
Absolutely. We'll do that. Mark Schauer, once again, BlueGreenAlliance.org. We've got to get to the break.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
You're listening to a best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW.
It's Wednesday morning. We've got a great hour of radio planned for you. My good friend Zach Pohl will be joining us in just a moment. He, of course, is the executive director of Progress Michigan. Those of you that are paying attention, which is many of you, know that the Michigan Summit is this Saturday. We started giving away tickets yesterday. We'll be giving away a pair again a little later on today, but we'll get to that in just a few moments. Candidates everywhere, and we've got a good one coming up at 7:35. Tom Baritzky will be joining us from the 23rd House District. Looking forward to meeting Tom and letting you meeting Tom as well. Occupy Detroit will be with us at 7:50. But let me turn my attention now to my good friend Zach Pohl, who I'm sure is exhaustively busy getting ready for all the preparations for Saturday. Again, starts at 8 a.m. Kellogg Center. I want you to pre-register. You don't have to. You can, of course, come there. But it starts at 8, so why would you do this to yourself? Pre-register, get your tickets. God will be good to you. I'll be good to you. I can't wait to meet some of you, by the way. And, of course, I'll look forward to seeing Zach Pohl, who joins us now. Zach, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Tony. Thanks for having me.
I got to ask you a question. Would you have let Detroit go bankrupt?
No, certainly not. You know, gosh, it was funny yesterday. Romney, out of nowhere, taking credit for the auto rescue that he opposed. Yeah, just pretty shocking, but I guess coming from him, nothing surprises me anymore.
You know, I shouldn't joke about this because it's actually very frustrating for those of us that take our politics seriously, especially this early in the morning, Zach. And that's not what we've got you here to talk about. But it certainly is big news. And being that, of course, you're in the Lansing area, that's where the candidate was yesterday. At some level, it just blows my mind. If you want to be taken seriously, you can't claim, especially in the national media, you can't take credit for something that you actually advised somebody not to do, and then, of course, wear it as it was, as if they did exactly what you told them to do. You know, Zach, we are paying attention.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it just goes to show that, just another typical politician, Mitt Romney, taking credit for something that he actively opposed. But, you know, that's, you know, part of why I think things like the Michigan Summit are so important, because it gives, everyday people a chance to come together and focus on the big issues that oftentimes get overlooked by elected officials and sometimes from both parties. It's a really good opportunity to come together and talk about ways we can break down some of the barriers between us and figure out a course to move all of Michigan forward and not just the top 1%, which is so often who politicians like Mitt Romney are out there advocating for.
Yeah, and Zach, I think you just perfectly positioned this. I just want people for a moment put partisanship aside and think about when was the last time somebody offered this opportunity, no matter what walk of life you come from, no matter whether you're in a union or not in a union, whether you're male or female, whether you're gay or straight or transgendered, whether you are pro-labor, anti-labor, whether you are white-collar, blue-collar, on Saturday morning at 8 a.m., you have an opportunity to participate in something that will have something for you. When was the last time that happened, Zach?
Well, about this time last year. Yeah, we've been doing the summit for several years now, but it's there's not a lot of opportunities like this. And, you know, the Michigan Summit's all about collaboration. It's about helping people come together to find their voice so we can work together to move Michigan forward and work towards positive change, again, for everyone in Michigan, not just those in the top 1%.
Yeah, no question. All right, so very quickly, because we don't have a lot of time, and I want to make sure we talk a little bit about the keynote speakers. Now, last year, there were some great speakers, but we're talking about this year. So let's talk about this year. Who do you have, or some of the highlights so people know what to expect this Saturday?
First of all, there's going to be several really engaging panels throughout the day for folks to come and learn more. The two I'll just sort of highlight for you. One is going to focus a little bit on some of the various ballot initiatives that are going to be on the November ballot this year, focus on things like collective bargaining, some of the Occupy movement, and also the renewable energy portfolio initiative. There's a lot of really engaging ballot initiative questions out there for folks to talk about and sort of figure out how these will impact Michigan and help move our state forward. Another one in the afternoon is actually going to be hosted by Progress Michigan's digital team, and it's going to teach folks how to use social media more effectively to help bring people together and advocate for change, again, to help move Michigan forward. But our keynote speakers, we're really excited about Barbara Arnwine. She's the executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under the law. And George Gale is the executive director for National People's Action. They're both very engaging speakers, advocating for civil rights and advocating for social and economic justice, which are just huge issues right now in America, and we're thrilled to have them this Saturday.
Well, again, it's going to be an amazing array of things to do. You know, it was last year where I met Cindy Estrada for the first time, who served on a panel, if you'll recall, Zach. I know that you were not with Progress Michigan then, but I do believe you were at the Michigan Summit last year. That's where I met Cindy Estrada for the first time. That's where I had just gone back on the air, so I had reconnected with David Hecker at the Michigan Summit. I could go on and on and on, because there was everybody who's anybody was there. And interestingly, you think, okay, well, you know, the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer, was there. He must have been presenting. No, Mark was actually in the audience taking notes during one of the breakout sessions. This is really, Zach, an opportunity from people from all walks of life to really get something valuable out of this.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it's a nonpartisan event, but it's, you know, it's an opportunity both to come and, you know, engage in some of these really cool breakout panels and learn some things about, what different organizations are doing and how we can work together better. But you're right. It's also just a great opportunity to come together and meet people who care about the same sort of things you do, who share values about, about inclusion, fighting for collective bargaining, fighting for a clean, healthy environment. It's just a good opportunity to come and meet people and network and figure out how we can all get better engaged and work together to move Michigan forward.
Now, last year, I know that Progress Michigan live streamed some of the conference. Will they be doing that again this year, Zach?
Absolutely. I mean, we would obviously first encourage everyone, if you can, to come to East Lansing at the Kellogg Center, themichigansummit.org. You can get some more info on that. But if you're not able to join us, we'll be live streaming the event. We'll be blogging about it, tweeting about it. Lots of good information on themichigansummit.org. We'll certainly encourage everyone to check that out.
Yeah, and I want them to do that, of course. I've personally been in contact with quite a few people that thankfully have been pre-registering, and I do appreciate that. I know that that number is growing on a daily basis, and just like last year, of course, this week you guys are going crazy with people wanting to get in, and that's great. That's fine, but this is not it's going to sell out thing. The more, the merrier, as far as I'm concerned, right?
Absolutely. The more the merrier. We would encourage folks to keep checking out the website, MichiganSummit.org, to register. Again, you can register on the day of. That's fine, too. But we're expecting it to be a really good crowd this year once again, and should be a great event, and would love for folks to attend.
Absolutely. And again, we will be giving away a pair of tickets that we started yesterday every day. But folks, don't rely on that as your ticket there. I had somebody call me again in the office yesterday begging me for tickets. First of all, it's not that expensive, so let me say that up front. And I want to just encourage people to go online, themichigansummit.org. Go online, register, take care of all your stuff there, or show up. I know, like last year, there were so many opportunities. Lunch alone, the networking opportunities during lunch alone was valuable for me. And the one thing I learned is I need to bring more cards this year. Because I met so many people that I wanted to get on my show. Some of them were listeners. In fact, there's this wonderful woman by the name of Dr. Jennifer Martin, who is a teacher who I understand just got a great job as a professorship. She's going from high school to college. God bless her. But I met her at the Michigan Summit. She became a fairly regular guest on this show. So there are lots of opportunities for me and other people alike.
Absolutely. Lots of interesting people there. You know, lots of times, you know, conferences like this wind up being just sort of a schmooze fest and a chance for people. They don't do anything of substance. I mean, there's certainly opportunities to network at the summit, but there's also just, some great content at some of our breakout sessions. A really good opportunity for folks to come in and learn and have a conversation and help find their own voice. And so, I think the summit's got something for everyone who's interested in some of these issues that we all care about. Again, protecting our environment, protecting workers' rights, and moving our economy forward. So it should be a great event this weekend.
Well, if I sound a little geeked, there's a reason. It's not because I had too much coffee. It's because I know what to expect, because I went last year. I'm very, very excited. I know we're going to have somebody on Friday, so we're going to be talking about this again on Friday. I can't wait to come back on Monday and talk about how great Saturday was and how many people I met. And, you know, just it's just so, so much fun. So, folks, themichigansummit.org. Zach, thank you so much, and I'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday as well.
Great. Thanks, Tony. Have a good one.
You bet. Zach Pohl with Progress Michigan. Let's take a quick break here.
That will wrap it up for now on the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember, we're always interacting on Facebook on the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page. Add a like, tell a friend, grow the community today. Also on Twitter at Tony Trupiano, TonyTrupiano. And, of course, email if you still use it. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone still uses email. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Thanks to everyone who appreciates and supports the show. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Jeff Radford, and I hope you enjoyed this hour of the show. Now, stay tuned for the latest news brought to you by NBC News.
Rush hour commute is still very busy. Let's head over to 696 eastbound at Franklin Road, where accident has the right shoulder block, and that's causing slow traffic from Orchard Lake Road. Westbound 94 at Cadieux, your right shoulder is blocked. Also on the Lodge southbound at Jefferson Avenue, accident has the left lane blocked, two cars involved there. Now on 75 southbound at 94, the flooding has receded, so the road conditions have improved, but you still want to use some caution in that area. And we got some heavy traffic on 75 northbound between 696 and 12 mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
I started using drugs when I was 13 years old. I started with pot, like most people probably do, alcohol, cigarettes, and eventually moved up to methamphetamine, and went on to cocaine, and eventually ended up on heroin.
I did not have a life. I mean, I owned a multi-million-dollar advertising firm, and I couldn't function. My husband packed the children and left. I had no idea where they were, but none of that mattered. All that mattered was smoking crack.
My parents, brother, and sisters are just baffled. You know, how can somebody that supposedly has so much be so miserable and keep throwing his life away?
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Hey, it's Anthony from...